Good morning. It's an honor to be here this morning to worship the Lord with you. I just want to thank Dr. Ken for having me and my wife Glennis with me this morning. We married 18 years next month, and it's wonderful to be able to celebrate with you. We're from Toms River, New Jersey, about an hour and 40 minutes away, and our ministry is called Move the Earth, and as Pastor Ken has said, it's about really reversing the trend of biblical unbelief. And that's where I want to have our scripture here this morning. As you read in the book of Colossians, and I will focus in on four verses this morning and help us to understand the necessity and the urgency of true believers in Jesus Christ, his holy ones, his beloved, his church, to think biblically in the 21st century. And how easy it is sometimes for us to not take our faith as serious as it ought to be, and become caught up in the philosophies, in the spirituality, in the worldview that's so secular and so penetrating our society. So allow us here for a quick moment to say a prayer and dig into these scriptures. And I pray that this message today will urge you and compel you to grow deeper in your faith and to apply it to your life in a biblical worldview. Allow me to pray this morning. Father, I come to you in your Son Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May your word today bring us light. May it bring us truth, God. May it set us free from the deception and the attraction of this world, to fall in love with Christ more deeply, to pursue your word more richly, and to seek you, God, more urgently. So bless our time here this morning and enlighten us to the truth of Scripture. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. We read the 12 verses in its full context, but I want to focus in this morning on four verses that I believe will speak to us most importantly this morning. And Paul is saying this to the church of Colossae in verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits, or principles, it could be translated, of the world, and not according to Christ. When we read this, we sometimes overlook the people that the Apostle Paul was writing to. He wasn't telling the pagan society or the unbelievers of Rome in the first century not to be deceived or not to become caught up in the philosophies of the world. He was writing this to the church. In other words, you can be in the church. You can worship God on Sunday morning. You can have your creeds and your confession of faith and it be so rich and your doctrine so deep, but yet when you live your everyday life, you are becoming caught up in the philosophies, in the belief systems, in the worldview of the larger society around us, and that was happening in the church of Colossae. Paul warned the church, do not be deceived. You are the elect of God. You are called out of the world, but church, if you're not careful, you too can fall captive to the way the world thinks. You know, Paul did not question their profession of faith. He said, you have received Christ, therefore walk in him. He didn't question on whether or not they were Christians. He didn't question whether or not they truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he said, you have received Christ. You belong to his body. But you can become caught up in the philosophies of this world. You know, 26 times in the New Testament, 26 times, either Jesus or the apostles warned the church not to be deceived. 26 times, he warned the body of believers not to be deceived. What is it that makes us love God with all of our heart, but oftentimes we fall short with all of our mind? We don't fully surrender our thinking to the authority of Scripture. Our hearts worship God abundantly and enthusiastically, but our minds struggle and we wrestle with the deep truths of Scripture. We try to find ways to minimize the authority of that scripture or to simply overlook it altogether. And so therefore, we do not have a complete and consistent and coherent worldview based upon the authority of God's word. We're missing something in our thought life. We're missing something in how we see the world fully from the biblical perspective. He said, do not allow anyone to take you captive by philosophy, by the elemental spirits or principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Christ is the foundation of our faith. It is Christ and Christ alone that we build our hope and our faith and our trust and all of our allegiance. It's upon Christ and Christ alone. He is the authority in our life. Christ is the truth. He is the living word. We read and we meditate and we grow through the written word of God. But Christ is the living word of God, making those letters and those words and those pages come to life as he walked among us 2,000 years ago. You know, the world is full of spirituality. And specifically right here in the city of Colossae, when we read the word philosophy, the only time Paul ever used the word philosophy in the New Testament, though philosophy in and of itself was highly sought after and regarded by the Greek culture of Paul's day. But the only time he used the word philosophy was right here, and he was dealing with the city of Colossae, and they had a very feelings-based spirituality. They had the worship of angels. They had a lot of ecstatic and inspiring dancing and ecstatic prophetic movements that were going on, but they didn't have the rich doctrines of the church. And so he warned them, guys, you are experiencing a lot, but you're missing the point. It is Christ alone that you build your faith upon, not upon your feelings. It's upon the truth of Christ. And we are living, according to experts, in a post-truth society. Post-truth was the word of the year by Oxford Dictionary in 2016. Post-truth. Truth, meaning this: feelings, not facts, determine what is true. Feelings, not facts, determine what is true. We are living in a society that whatever you feel is truth becomes truth. Despite what the facts may say, despite what common sense might say, despite what common opinion might promote, If it feels like it ought to be true, then therefore we make it truth. But Paul told a church living in a very similar situation, don't base your belief system, don't base your worldview on what the feelings are, but base it upon Christ and Christ alone. Because that is what makes the church so unique, is that we have the Holy Scriptures as our source of authority. We have the Bible given to us by God, revealed through his prophets and his apostles. This is my word, and it will never pass away. That's what makes us unique. You know, in the first century, what made the church so unique was the writings, based out of their Jewish root of the synagogue, now happening in homes and in gatherings in the Roman Gentile world. They would base their gatherings on the writings of the prophets and the letters, the epistles of the apostles. See, in a Roman pagan world, they had their pluralistic religions. They had many, many gods in Rome. What made the Christian God so unique is they had a source of authority called the Bible. See, when you would worship the pagan gods of Rome, they wouldn't stop the service for 20 minutes like we're doing this morning and turn to the writings of Aristotle or Plato. There was no source for them. There was no writings for them. There was no higher revelation once and for all delivered to them. It was all based on experiences and ceremonies. But the church came and said, we have the word of the Lord. You know, today in America and in Europe, there are other gatherings happening, very similar to ours. It's called the Sunday Assembly. The Sunday Assembly. You can look it up online. It is a gathering of atheists that come together Sunday mornings. They come inside, they have some coffee together, they sing uplifting and positive songs together. They have someone come up for 20 minutes and deliver a hopeful moral message of being a better neighbor, being more loving, and building a more kinder world. Then they leave and have lunch together and volunteer in the community together throughout the week. The Sunday Assembly. They said we could have our own gathering without the Scriptures. See, what makes us unique, what makes the elect unique, what makes the church unique is that we have the Scriptures. And that is our full and final authority on all things pertaining to life and the world around us. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves this morning. Not only here, but the broader, larger body of Christ in America and in Europe. Because the rest of the world, from sub-Saharan Africa to Latin America, they are becoming stronger and more convicted in the Scriptures with their faith. It's secular Europe and a post-truth America that's wrestling with it. Will we submit ourselves to the authority of Scripture in the 21st century? Or will we submit the Scriptures to our authority in a post-Christian, post-truth, post-modern 21st century? Either we will affirm without compromise the authority of Scripture. The words revealed in the Old and New Testaments are true. What is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, it's true. And we know that because Christ, the living Word, has testified to its truth. But other worldviews have influenced us. Dr. Steve Lawson says this in the book, The Moment of Truth. Humanism says man is the truth,
Pragmatism says whatever works is the truth. Pluralism says everyone has a piece of the truth. Relativism says each situation determines the truth. Mysticism says intuition is the truth. Skepticism says no one can know the truth. Heathenism says whatever feels good is the truth. Existentialism says self-determination is the truth. Secularism says the present world is the truth. Positivism says whatever a man confesses is the truth. But Christianity says Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth. We don't serve an ism, a pluralism, an atheism, a humanism, a heathenism, a mysticism. It's not an ism. It's not just some principles and some condition of belief. It's much, much more than that, church. It's Christianity. It's in Christ and Christ alone. So I want to encourage you this morning. Build your faith on nothing less than Christ and Christ alone. Do not become caught up in the philosophies, in the principles, in the plausible arguments, as the Apostle Paul warned us. You have received Christ. Therefore, walk in Christ. Be rooted and be built up in Christ. And build your faith alone on the authority of the words of Christ. Allow me to pray this morning. Father, we come to you in your Son Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we seek your word this morning to minister to us, help us to understand the answer to all of the situations, to what we struggle with and what the answer is. And help us now, Lord, to see the answer of what our need is in the 21st century. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Allow me, before I leave this morning, to give you one more point. I don't mean to overstay my time. What's the answer to this? How do we turn this around? Well, in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, something happened to that ancient Israeli ingathering from Babylon. It says in Ezra that in chapter 9, the people of Israel had not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples, like the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. To us today, that's like saying the relativist, the atheist, the skepticist, the mythicist, the pluralist, the heathenist, the secularist. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, the people told Ezra, bring us the book of the law of Moses. And Ezra began to read and read and read the book of Moses. And the people bowed their heads and they weep before God and they repented, because though they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the sacrificial system and their worship was wonderful in the eyes of God, their worldview was incorrect. It was the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, the Egyptians that were influencing them, the same as the humanist, the atheist, the secularist, the pluralist is influencing us. And they told Ezra, bring us the book of Moses. It is when the church acknowledges that our belief system has become intermingled with the world around us, and then we look to leaders like Dr. Ken and others and say, Pastor, bring us the word of the Lord. We want to submit ourselves to the word of the Lord. We want our minds renewed to the word of the Lord. We want to be separated and sanctified and washed by the word of the Lord. Give us the word. We are hungry in the 21st century for the word. And when the Church of Jesus Christ becomes hungry for the word of God again, then we will see a church awakened to the passion to live and to stand for God again, even in the world around them. God bless you. God bless your families. And God bless Dr. Ken and his wonderful wife, Evelyn. Thank you.